That's such a nice melody, really. It has a certain Hindi swing. Today we will come to our last, or we have come to our last day in our seminar. I hope you are all enlivened and inspired to apply what you have learned in your daily life. We will now come, our session today is called The Power of Forgiveness. It's the session I'm looking most forward to because it is something it's a little experimental. Let us continue with our story. The story of our hero, Dhruva Maharaj. After Dhruva Maharaj returned from the forest, did he feel satisfied or did he feel not satisfied? Why was he not satisfied, Umilam?
Because he had become the Lord with material desire. Not only for the kingdom, but he really regretted his mood of vengeance towards his
stepmother. Yeah. He had really changed inside. He looked back at his old life and thought it was not what it should have been. And he wanted to be more Krishna conscious, actually. And this desire to want to become Krishna conscious is really the first and most essential thing we look for in the art of transformation. It is eagerness which will buy us the kingdom of God. We will not enter the kingdom of God in currencies of this world, by paying prices in currencies of this world, dollars or euros. We will go if we pay in coins of eagerness, the intense desire. And once the heart has really this intense desire to go to Krishna, you know a transformation has taken place. It's a wonderful feeling when you have this. My secret agenda here is to evoke this feeling in you. That's why we discuss so many things and so on. Eventually, Dhruva Maharaj was requested to become the Yuvaraj, that is a king who, or let me see, a youth who is already designated to become the king but does not act as the king because he's too young. And when he came of age, his father Uttanapad left one morning alone, bare feet, with only a simple garment, the palace. That was the sign. Dhruva Maharaj was now the king. He became powerful and married two noble wives, Brahmi and Ila, who both gave him children. One day, Dhruva Maharaj's unmarried brother, what was his name? Uttama, yes, went into the forest to a hunting expedition. But while he was in the forest, it was the northern part of India, he came into an ambush of some powerful yakshas, who one of them killed him, and so he did not return. When Suniti, his mother, heard this, she was so distraught with pain that she went into the forest and there annihilated herself in a fire. Yes, she burned. It is described that these two had done Vaishnava aparad, and therefore they eventually met this destiny. Now Dhruva felt, when he was informed about this ambush of his brother, something took place which will take place in each of our lives. Krishna is now setting him up for a test. And in the first moment, he did not pass this test very well. He became angry and revengeful. He told his servants to immediately equip his battle chariot, which had the name the Victor, for battle. And he went to the north, where he eventually arrived at Alakapuri. Alakapuri, according to my calculation, it is my humble opinion that it lies in today's Tibet. It is in the northern part of the Himalayas, and it is usually associated with residents of ghosts and goblins, followers of Lord Shiva. When Dhruva Maharaj came there, he blew in his conch assailed Dhruva Maharaj. It is described, when they shot their arrows, and there were so many that they combined, they were like a huge cloud, which for a moment first Lord Dhruva shot his arrows, and when they saw the arrows of Dhruva coming, they hesitated for a moment in fear, but then, like a trampled snake which jumps up for fight, they covered Dhruva with so many arrows that Dhruva was momentarily covered, and the Siddhas and the Devatas were saying, "Oh no, what happened?" Then Dhruva came out like the sun out of a cloud, assembly of clouds, and he began to shot. He shot so many arrows at the yakshas, it's described. First he pierced the forehead of each yaksha with three arrows, ping, 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 and soon the battlefield was a grotesque sight. The heads were rolling, the arms were falling, and so on and so forth. Maybe I shouldn't describe it so intensely. Are you losing? Is it a little intense for you? Should be a little bit more moderate. Good. I will make it a little more. Well, they all fled afterwards. Dhruva looked at Alakapuri, the town of the Yakshas. It was totally silent. The Yakshas were either dead or they had flown away. And something told him, don't enter the town of the Yakshas. They are wizards and magicians. So he stayed a little in the distance, and then the counter reaction came. First there was a storm of dust which covered everything. Then from the dust a mountain emerged, and stones began to hail down on Dhruva and the few soldiers which he had brought. Then came a rain of blood, and then weapons hailed down. And then, if this wasn't enough, there were visions, and then snakes came, tigers, and the floods began to surround Dhruva from all sides. I sometimes think such a thing should happen in a movie. You know, this is a movie scene, really. So then the Munis arrived and said, Dhruva, don't despair. Now there's only one thing. You must chant the holy name, which will drive away all our inauspiciousness. Then there is a weapon for you, the Narayan Astra. So Dhruva immediately chanted. Then he performed Archman, and then he shot this particular arrow or weapon, the Narayan Astra, from his bow. And as he shot it, it came many, many thousands and millions of arrows, and it went into the magical illusions. It is said, like a herd of black swans flies into a forest, quack, 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 or whatever the swans make. Then Dhruva Maharaj set forth for wholesale slaughter of the Yaksha army. At this moment, Svayambhuva Manu appeared and said, calm down, Dhruva. You should understand it was only one Yaksha who killed your brother, and you have been overcome by anger that you wish to kill all the Yakshas. Don't you know that anger is the gate to hell? Please know that Lord Hari resides in the hearts of those who treat others with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. How can you be a devotee and see the world as friends and enemies? I have told you this for your good. Maharaj was enlightened by the words of Svayambhuva Manu, and he could see that the anger which had settled on his heart flew away. He could understand, yes, Lord Hari resides in a heart which is free of anger. And yes, I should be tolerant towards others. I should have mercy and friendship and equality as my values in life. Then he stopped fighting, and Svayambhuva said, one tip, you must settle this problem with Kubera, because it's his army and he's very powerful. He's the younger brother of Lord Shiva. So when Dhruva Maharaj had this change in mind, Kubera could immediately understand Dhruva has a change of mind, and he came there. Dhruva excused himself and said, I was overcome by anger. Kubera said, no problem. See, I don't consider you the killer of the Yakshas. Just like I do not consider that one particular Yaksha to be the killer of your brother. You must know that the Supreme Lord is sitting within everyone's heart, and he is directing everyone. Ask me now for a blessing. Dhruva, who had forgotten Krishna as the supreme controller of everyone's fate, was requesting Kubera, please help me, bless me, that I can remember Krishna always. Kubera said, Tatastu, and disappeared. When Dhruva Maharaj came home, he did a yajna to purify himself. He gave charity, and as a result of having given up anger, he could see Lord Krishna in everyone's heart. So, he saw Krishna everywhere. Yomam pasyati sarvasya, it says in the Gita, whoever sees me in everything and everything in me, he's never lost to me, and I am never lost to him. This is a very important thing which we must come to. We must be able to see Krishna in everyone's heart as the real controller of our life. Now, when we can at least theoretically adopt this vision, we can also equip ourselves with the power of forgiveness. Now, I want to see that all of you are with me. Yes. I would like to talk about the beauty of forgiveness. It is said the beauty of a woman lies in her eyes. I can't judge what our Grihastas will be able to say. The beauty in a nightingale lies in her voice. The man's beauty is not in his muscles. The man's beauty should be in his knowledge and or wisdom. And the beauty of a sadhu becomes beautiful when he has the power to forgive others. Now this power to forgive others for the wrongs which they have given us will come from bhajan, because bhajan or the worship of Lord Krishna will lift us on a spiritual platform from where we can see things in a spiritual perspective and see Him behind everything, Krishna behind everything, and forgive others when they did something. See, many devotees or with whom I have talked before preparing this particular part of the seminar think, like many people in this world, if I forgive someone, I actually condone what others did to me and do them in this way an unjustified favor. Someone may, the devotee said, but I was wronged and the other person was wrong. Objectively speaking, I was right. And it may be a fact, I'm not now saying that the devotee says this out of imagination. But still, if you forgive others, it's not that you only do others a favor, you do yourself an even greater favor. Let me tell you of some experiments in a psychology laboratory. I've taken this out of a magazine of psychology, where the condensate of human breath was investigated. For those of you who don't have English as their mother tongue, condensate is what appears on the window when you breathe. To how would we say in Croatian language, Gangamayi?
Condensate.
Yeah. Something like this, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so easy to, you know. Yes, condensierate. Now it was seen that hatred, anger, and jealousy caused different colored condensates, which, when analyzed, contained deadly poison. The poison of a few minutes of anger will kill a guinea pig, Meerschweinchen, and feeling angry for an hour will produce enough poison to kill 80 guinea pigs. These small. Yeah. Heavy, isn't it? Now, if you hold on to anger and resentment, my dear devotees, it's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die from it. Doesn't make sense. Should I repeat this again? If you hold on to anger and resentment, it is like drinking poison and thinking the other person there against whom you are angry, he will die from it. It doesn't work out. Research shows that 47% of cancer is related to unresolved anger which you still have in your it's really, you know, when you feel already that the cancer is building up. I mean, meanwhile, the other person on whom you are so angry might not even know what you feel towards him or her. Therefore, if you forgive, and release old hatreds from your system. It's like taking a mental and emotional bath. I feel this is so important at this stage of our ISKCON movement, where we lament the kind guidance of Srila Prabhupada. It's no longer available, and we did make some mistakes, especially in our relationships with each other, or with the children, and man to women, and there are so many relationship issues which have hurt us and hurt others. But we cannot hold on to them forever, because this is dangerous for us. Therefore, practice sending loving thoughts to people and issues that draw the most resentments and judgments out of you. You must practice this in order to be saved. I want to tell you about an exercise which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. He would have when in the ashram two devotees were contending with each other. Oh, he did this. Oh, he did that. And they were quarreling. Do you know what he did? He called them, set them on a chair, facing each other, and said, now each one of you should tell something positive about the other. And, you know, Guru Maharaj has said, I mean, there's really nothing positive about this other person, but I'm ordered. I can't find anything. Then he said, oh, sorry, it is good that you eat prasadam. The other said, it's good that you take rest in a temple. It's good for you. In this way, they would start to think, tell things about each other which were good, and slowly they would enter a different mode, a different perspective. Something about which will come up a little later in the seminar. And they would find more and more things. Oh, for instance, I can see you are very determined in whatever you do. Or other things which, you know, if, let us take this exercise a little bit out of our perspective. Could you say something about someone who is maybe who has hurt you in the past and with whom you didn't feel good? Is there something good about him? Don't tell names, please.
Somebody must be very straightforward and honest.
Yes, straightforward and honest. Hardworking. I would often find out I have written, because somehow I have grown with this eccentric mind, and I joined so early, and I find sometimes I'm a little different than everyone else, in a bad way, and sometimes I do say things which are different than others see the world, just different perspectives, and I've sometimes suffered. But I have often seen that devotees who maybe still not like me, they are very, very faithful and loyal to Srila Prabhupada. I've often seen this, that they really, from their perspective, seem they want to really, they really love Srila Prabhupada. I have done this exercise when I heard about it and found myself often becoming less resentful towards devotees and understanding and loving even those who do not have the same feelings for me. And I found it was very helpful when I developed these loving emotions towards them, or appreciations, then the behavior would change. Have you seen this? When you can forgive someone, often they come to you, "Ah, you're not so bad. Take this morning sweet pea." And they go away already. So some change takes place. Be careful, however, if you want to forgive others, do it from the heart. In other words, have feelings, loving emotions, and not the head. The heart can forgive, but the head only makes empty promises that do not reach completion. There is a magic about dealing with people. When you hold anger towards them, or a bad feeling, they somehow sense to, by some heart wire, I mean now heart, not heart, heart wire, they seem to be connected to this and get it and take it. And when you can love and appreciate them, by trying to understand it their way, then you will be able to evoke a total different response from them. People are often like forests. The way you call into them, that's what comes out from them. Now I would go to make a few exercises with you. Gaurahari has the music ready, I think. So my question is, I want to request you to think of something which happened during the last week which slightly angered you. Let us say you got stuck in the traffic, or there was a small misunderstanding, or you again ate too much and couldn't, and suffered in the morning program from tiredness, or I don't know, you were talking with someone and it turned out into a meaningless discussion which slightly annoyed you. We will, in our exercise, do something with these feelings. But remember, you have to please not be lazy and go into the exercise. You have the choice now to learn something, to let go of anger. We will teach you a simple method. It's something, the choice means I can now choose to either let this arm here or lift it up. So you can either choose to participate in this exercise or not, but I request you, even if it is a new exercise, even if it is a little reaching into your or beyond your comfort zone, don't feel shy. You will experience something nice. Okay. Place both of your feet on the floor, take your spine and make your body straight, and then sit in a relaxed, and then relax but remain straight like this. When you're ready, please close your eyes and think of something, a situation, where you felt some anger. It's best if you have something during the week, but if there's absolutely nothing, you can go to something which comes into your face. Where did you feel angry? Everyone has something? Okay. Now get in touch with how this makes you feel, the situation. Go a little bit deeper and notice where in your body you have this feeling. A locality, is it in the heart, is it in the stomach, is it in the chest area, there. And let the feeling grow in strength. Let it become stronger in your imagination. Then let the emotions come forth. How do you feel about this? Let the emotions grow in strength and feel them. Now I will ask you three questions. Answer quietly but loud. Do you like to feel in this way? Your answer? Do you want to let the feeling go? Are you really willing to let it go? When are you willing to let it go? Please say to yourself a sentence, I'm willing to let go such and such emotions or hurt now. Please say it. I am willing to let go. No, not such and such. Whatever it is. I will give you an example. It's nice that you are amused, but please listen silently. I'm willing to let go the hurt I felt because someone jumped on my toe now. Well, I think we should do it in our mind. It won't work. You will all laugh and so on. So say in your mind, I'm willing to let go now. Now take a nice deep breath. Exhale and mildly shake the body. Keep your eyes closed and smile. When you are ready, please open your eyes. Lila Darin, you had the most wonderful smile on your face. I've never seen such a happy smile. I've seen many happy smiles, but in this situation, congratulations. Did it work for you? Did it work for you, this exercise?
Exercise might be good, but I do not find any.
You are our Vrishvasi, yes. Why be angry? Everything is Krishna's mercy. Yes. Good. Good. It is as simple as this, my dear devotees. You have the choice to let something go. If somehow you don't want to forgive, this also happens. And you just can't do it. You see that this person, I'm right and he's wrong. Don't you understand, Sachinandan Swami? This is an irrelevant lecture for me. Then think about these questions. I will say them for your introspection. But you can look at me, no need to close your eyes. What does this feeling or issue do for me? Is it good for me? You can ask yourself such a question. What am I getting out of having such a feeling? Does it really protect and serve me? Do I really still need it? What will really happen if I let it go? Usually what will happen, you will feel almost an invisible golden scissor which closes and separates you from your painful past. Obviously, the past can sometimes come back. Obviously, we are not always in the strength of mind. But we have learned the art of forgiving, it will be it will work. Okay, let us now go rightly to the core of anger. Of all emotions, the most debilitating, have I chosen the right English word? Debilitating is something like weakening, which makes us debilitating, is anger. You will not believe many people's lives are run and ruined by anger. I would like to give you an example which I heard the other day. It was a grown-up man who had an issue with his father, which was disturbing him for a long, long time. When you hear this, please remember, anger can get you any moment. Like Dhruva Maharaj was also overcome by anger and was then corrected by Svayambhuva Manu to let go of his anger. This man described how once with his father he went to New York and they saw his 14-year-old cousin. And the cousin had a wonderful coin collection. Don't know if you also did this in your childhood. I collected stamps. Who collected stamps in his childhood? Oh, every European boy collects. You also, Lakshmi Moni. Your son too. Welcome in the club. This is a universal club of stamp collectors. But many boys also have coin collections. Or girls, I believe, have Barbie puppets collection. No. What did you collect, Kalakandra? Little puppets, maybe? Dolls? No? Girls, what do girls collect? What? Stuffed animals, yes. Little cows and little hares and so on. So this cousin had a particularly impressive coin collection, you know, with nice folders, with nice plastic things, and then there was a description, this coin is worth $100, although it only said 40 cents from the year 1823, and so on. There is a whole thing. This boy, which we are talking about, who described this story, this left a deep impression. And he also started to collect coins. But because he was poor, he put them in a little piggy bank. Piggy bank is ein Sparschweinchen in German language. You know, there was this little slot, and he put the coins in there with great endeavor. And sometimes he would get them out with great endeavor with a knife and look at them. And the piggy bank became his entire pride. He would go into the school and say to the boys, show me your coins, I will buy them for a higher price. And then someone came with a coin which was maybe $40 valuable, and he gave only, and it's the coin said maybe, I don't know, 50 cents, and he gave $2, and he, you know, I made a big business, and so on. And he had put his piggy bank, the house was poor, behind a sink, you know, where the Abflussrohr, what is Abflussrohr, the drain is, and kept it there. Now one day this boy came home. The first look was at the piggy bank, but the piggy bank was gone. Where was the piggy bank? Who had stolen the treasure of the house? He looked everywhere. He went into the garden to see if some place was dug up freshly, you know, that maybe the piggy bank was put in there. And after 2 hours of frantic search, with tears in his eyes, he found the piggy bank in the night drawer of his father. And when he grabbed the piggy bank to look at the coins were not there. Do you understand his feelings of anger coming up? He waited for 2 hours for his father to return. He was standing on the sofa, and when the door opened, he flung into the face of his father and saying, "You thief! You miscreant! You imitation Al Capone!" So the father had just worked, and he said, "What?" And in the American way, he said, "Get out of my way!" And smashed the boy, bang, on the, who went down on the floor and then went into his room, locked his room. "I hate you! I hate you! I hate you!" This hate didn't leave him for many, many years. For 20 years it didn't leave him. I want to request you now to search in your past for an emotionally loaded incident which resulted in you getting angry in the past. Please don't be holier than everyone here in the room. There must have been something which made you angry. Dhruva Maharaj also got angry. It's not a shame. And so on. Do we have some notes? For those of you who have no notes, or let me say, it's important that you make the exercise, who have no pen and paper. What could we do with them? Who has no pen and paper, please? For best of the scholars. Then we can't do it. Then we do it differently. Please turn to your neighbor. And we couple up in pairs now. We will have 5 minutes for this exercise. And please search in your past. Listen very carefully. I think, who is a good writer of the English language? I don't want... Hanumanji, could you please do the work and just write this down, 3 questions which need to be discussed. An emotional loaded incident, then second, you can write there, this emotionally loaded incident, then second, search for the person who made you angry, you know, identify the person you can write second. Emotionally loaded incident of the past, and then the person. And then describe to your neighbor such an incident, something which made you entirely angry, and so on. It's only 2. I made a mistake. So, please start now.
Yes.
You have 3 more minutes. Please let the other person also, after some time, talk. Describe the incident. Describe everything, the feeling, everything. Okay. Hare Krishna. We have a very fired up group here. So I want to make a little color test with you. Sometimes our eyes don't see so good. Just to relax our brain for the next exercise. This is very artfully. What do you see when you look at this picture?
I see a blue circle.
A blue sun.
A blue circle, a blue sun. What? Purple. What?
Purple color.
Is it more purple? What? I'm sorry.
A pipe
which goes inside. Yes, we really did a lot of work on this to make it. Yes.
For me, it looks like the Japanese flag.
Raman, what do you see? A gulab jamun. Our Manjis, Gangamayi, what do you see? A blue circle, yes.
A purple hole. When you said that I look, I saw flowers in the middle of the distance.
You see flowers, really? You are a flower like devotee of the Lord. I must say very sorry, I don't get your answer. I don't see it. I see white paper. Which is interrupted by something in the middle. But I really, this is not so much of interest. I see the white, the texture of the paper and how it's round here. Looks like the ocean, really. The milk, I would say I see milk. Ah. It depends really on your perspective. Someone saw a pipe, someone a point, someone saw Japan. After Holi, maybe. Holi means the cut. Flower, the color sprinkling time. It really depends on your perspective. The whole vision of reality depends on your perspective. Would like to tell you another story. From Germany, there was once a jeep going up the Alps, going through the curbs. And then there was a red cabrio coming in one of the curbs. Cabrio is, if I'm saying it properly, a car with a beautiful blonde German Brunhilde, you know, coming with her hair flying and the lipsticks pointing towards Munich and so on. And the jeep drivers just looked in amazement as she came down the Alps. And she looked at them and said, and they called out, "Pig!" We didn't look in any decent and undecent way, but they came into the curve, and the moment they came into a curve, they saw a pig crossing the road. They had the perspective which male people have. Oh, she's calling us a pig because we look why so temperamental and so on. And but she meant to warn them. There's a pig coming. Perspectives. So now I would like to go to request you to go again in the thing which you have just described to your neighbor. We have little time, and I really want to come to the main exercise. Try, go again into the incident of your past now. You do it on your own, and think of possibly of the perspective of the person who hurt you. I understand that you were right in this situation and the other person was wrong. But try to see what happened from his or her perspective. If you don't know, pretend you know it. And maybe, like a movie scripter who writes a movie, think of something. Even if the perspective of the person was crazy, maybe he was drunken, or maybe he was a member of a sect, so on. And see the possible perspective. I think you must do the exercise, and you must just simply, it's 2 minutes exercise. We don't have more time. Be concentrated. Please turn to your neighbor and see what tell him what the perspective the person might have had. You were right. It is not the exercise is not to forgive him at this moment. The exercise is just to see if he, what his perspective could have been. Yeah, so the same person you talked about. And be fast. I will make more such workshops where you can talk to each other. I really realize this was badly lacking. I'm very, very sorry. Please forgive me. Now, this person who told me of his piggy bank was, and the father was so hurt by what had happened that the father first stole the piggy bank, and then upon mild correction, he only jumped into his face. He just exercised his power and gave him a whack, zhup, and so on. He, for 20 years, could not forget, thought about this and thought, oh, is this, this father is a terrible person. Most probably he is a secret Nazi or a member of Ku Klux Klan. I will not go to Christmas celebrations. And he lived in reaction to this. He dragged the past into even his present relationship, thinking, oh, these authority figures, they are really bad, and so on and so forth. After 20 years, he somehow talked to his father. First of all, he asked, why did you take my piggy bank? I was only a child. And then the father first did not remember the incidents. And then he said, oh yes, I was so proud of you and showed your coin collections to my friends which came over to play cards. I remember I got them out of the slot. It was not easy with a knife like you had taught me. And then mother came and they looked at the coin collection and said, this person will be the next Rockefeller, my son. Then the mother came with the sandwiches and we all ate. And there was very little time, so I put the content of the piggy bank in a little bag, because it takes so much time to put each coin through the slots, huh? And I put this little bag next to the piggy bank in my drawer to put it back later and put it to the sink. Which bank? No, which bag? Well, I put the bag just right next to the piggy bank in the drawer. You must have seen it. Seen it? Oh, no. And you were proud of me? Oh. This was he told me this in a very moved way, and he said how healing took place at that moment when he understood I had been unnecessarily angry with my father because I had not seen it from his perspective. All healing means to release the past, to come to grips to the past. You will be surprised. Many of our devotees, one devotee, I will not release his name here, very advanced devotee, was once heard by the leader of our zone, and only now, maybe after 15 years, he has done his Vergangenheitsbewältigung. This is a German word. It means to somehow manage the past. Vergangenheitsbewältigung is a, in American, you must have read it. It's a word which comes from German. It is quoted in the English language. I think you would write it Vergangenheitsbewältigung, something like it. You have heard the sound. It means to come to grips with your past. So, if you want to also come to grips, you must do this. Reframe your anger. Reframe means like a picture. You know, put it in the... Hold it. Look at it. And try to see it from the perspective of the person who wronged you, or the institution. Like, we are all very angry, some are very angry of some parts of ISKCON. And please, again, understand, it's not a question of right and wrong. But you should still understand that everyone does things, everyone always only does the best they can at that time. Like if I look at our German yatra, we made mistakes, but we were immature, and we only had certain informations. Or let us say, someone did something wrong to someone else. He was overruled by greed, maybe, by anger, or by his human weaknesses. Everyone always only does the best they can at the time, like a little child who at the time speaks, gloop. It's the best he can do, because he's a child. So this is to reframe the anger and then apply a new perspective to it. And the second step is forgive the people who wronged you. Understand, every conditioned soul, including you, is conditioned by his fears, by his desires, and so on, which are covering the real self. But Pandita Samadarshina, the learned person, the wise person, should see it in a spiritual way and should see people with equal eyes. Now we will come to the high point of this today's session, the forgiveness exercise. This was only a preparation. Now we go into the real things. Music, please. Please put your both feet in a parallel fashion on the ground. Straighten your spine, please. Your shoulders also. And then keep it like this and relax. Uncross the arms if you have any crossings of the if you have crossed your hands or arms and put them like this on the lap, huh? Or in the other way if you feel comfortable touching your legs. And when you are ready, close your eyes. Do a few nice full breathing in and breathing out. Another nice breathing, inhaling and exhaling. And now imagine the person you were angry with or are still angry with sitting on a chair right before you. It doesn't matter if he's still alive or has passed away, because it's long, long back. See the person you were or angry with or are angry with sitting on a chair right before you. See his face and picture this person as he or she looks with undivided attention at you, and now internally tell him or her how much they have hurt you in the past. Tell your feelings at that time, your hurt. And now, hear them responding. Not in a defensive way. They had another perspective, it's clear. But hear them apologizing to you. I made a big mistake in hurting you. I would not have done what I did if I would have known how much I hurt you. See their pain and their sincere remorse in their faces. And hear them say, I'm really sorry. I did the best I could at that time. But I know it was not very good. I never wanted to hurt you. I reacted only to my own stuff. It had nothing to do with you. Please, forgive me. The time has come to let go of your anger. You forgive them and are willing to let go. Reach out to them and feel how your anger leaves you. Make the picture a little bigger. You should really see and feel your anger leaving you. And then fill the vacuum with appreciation. Appreciation for the devotees, appreciation for the people who try the best they can, appreciation for the creation. Send some love and appreciation out into the world. And please listen to a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj, a great example of sending out good feelings to the world. Svastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodiya Manashapatram Bhajata Dadokshaye Aveshyatam No Matyapyahaituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Prahlad Maharaj, at the time of composing the prayer, was wronged. But he thought not about wrong and right. He thought, may everyone become peaceful by practicing bhakti yoga so that they can think of each other's welfare. Do a few nice breaths now. And open your eyes. We have come to the successful culmination, or let us say conclusion, of our little workshop. This was on the power of forgiveness. Please remember, forgiveness will make you a beautiful spiritual person. The heart holds on to anger and resentment and bitterness. It is dangerous for us. If we can reframe it, look from it from another, the perspective of the person who has wronged us, look at the person from a spiritual perspective, he is a part of Lord Krishna but conditioned by the material energy, and does the best he can, which is not always very good. And then the third step, we can then forgive the people. It's good for us and also for the people, because the way you move towards someone or move towards the reality, that person will eventually come back in the same way towards you, and you will see also the reality like this. Devotee will look at the world and say, Krishna is everywhere. Kami will see it differently. It is said, a lusty man will see the whole world as lusty women. And I know not the whole world of womanhood as women who have the same ideas as he. A dog will see a wonderful woman as a walking piece of meat. That's a wild dog from India. And the sadhu will see a servant of Lord Krishna. So this perspective can be learned by forgiveness. I have reached my end. This is a very unusual moment in my life to be ready on time. Thank you very, very much for attending this course. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hare Bol. Thank you, Hare Bol. Time? Please don't go anywhere. All the doors are locked. And we will start in just a couple of minutes after we set up the stage here.
We can maybe open the windows real good.